Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:06 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 31st. I thought we'd kick off by talking about gasoline. The September contract is up $25, which is over 10%. And of course, this is the last trading day of the September contract. And anyone who wanted to take delivery and had left it too late, well, they are obviously at a disadvantage and have had to pay whatever the market was asking. But for example, the October contract was up 12, which is obviously a fairly significant move as well, but it is obviously not as large as 25. So for example, when we look at this on a weekly basis and just look at the front month contract, there's going to be a big step in this tomorrow because it's going to roll over, and it is going to be significantly below where the level is trading today. If we look at the second month continuation pattern, then we're given a better picture. And obviously this is quite a clear upward dynamic. It's similar to the upward dynamic that we saw back in January, but this is also raising a question or a point that we often see in the commodity markets, and it is that these short-term trends often roll over at contract changes. And it has to do with the time value of money and the urgency that is injected into a contract when you have either a weather event or some other exogenous factor that really starts to affect prices. There is the potential that we're going to have more volatility, and or perhaps more better described as two-way trading in gasoline over the next few days, as some of the urgency comes out of the trading, because Hurricane Harvey is now moving north and into colder weather that'll take the power out of it. Obviously, it's still a tropical storm. There's still a lot of rain falling, and there are still going to be some dams that are going to be discharging water. So water levels will stay high for a little while longer. But in Corpus Christi, for example, which was hit first, we're already starting to see evidence that refineries are starting up, and that's probably going to move as a wave up the coast as the time heals some of those wounds in terms of the refining capacity. There is going to be work going on at a breakneck pace to get them back online. So that is going to represent potentially a headwind in the not too distant future. This has been an explosive move in a very short time frame, but it would be rash to expect that it's going to last forever. What is interesting is that there is now a wide disparity between West Texas Intermediate and Brent crude, and part of the reason for that is because those refineries were shut down and they weren't buying oil, so WTI pulled back much more than Brent crude, but it posted an upside key reversal today, and it has pulled back by about $4. There is still a progression of lower rally highs evidence since January, but I bought some oil today when I closed my gasoline position because I thought, well, perhaps there is the potential for that arbitrage to close with Brent crude, and there's the potential for a bounce in here as some of that refinery capacity begins to come back online. So it's not quite going short of gasoline, but it is betting that the impetus is going to come out of the gasoline market. This is also a day that's been pretty heavy on the news flow on the economic front, with jobs figures coming in more, with better than expected, with GDP having been upgraded to 3% for the last quarter, and with the Chinese factory gauges coming in much more bullish than had been expected. And these are all symptomatic of the fact that we are in a period of synchronized global economic expansion, and I think it is worth taking some time to look at some of those charts. When, for example, we look at the NASDAQ, it is now right back testing its high. It's had a very firm 3 days in a row, and it is now at a new closing high. It's only 12 points away from that big psychological 6,000 level. And when we look at the price action on a weekly basis, then there's a rivetingly consistent progression of higher reaction lows, and we've had a somewhat lengthier pause in the region of a big psychological level, but in the absence of a clear downward dynamic and break in that progression of higher reaction lows, we won't have any evidence of top formation completion. And in the absence of that, and in the presence of a reasonably consistent advance, we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. The Nasdaq has been one of the markets that has been trending most consistently. The Russell 2000 has been largely range-bound all year. It failed to sustain the move higher in July. It pulled right back down to the lower side of the range, but now it's bouncing, and it is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. And as long as it is continuing to do that, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When we look at, for example, the S&P 500, then we're presented with a reasonably similar environment. It is sort of a split between the two. We have had a somewhat larger pullback, but the progression of higher reaction lows has held. It was up again in a robust manner in here today. It has broken the downward bias for that's been evident for most of August, and as long as it is holding that 2400 point level, the complacency of the bulls is unlikely to have been questioned in any real shape or form. And the size of the reactions, when we look at it on that weekly, on that 1 year basis, is very consistent. Even the length of the consolidations is reasonably consistent. And when we can look at a chart and pick out so many consistency characteristics, so many things that are common to each of the reactions and consolidations and rallies and periods of time that has been doing so, then it becomes a very easy chart to monitor, rather than to be swayed by the emotive comments that are just flowing out of the media and where they seem to be jumping at shadows. All we have to do is monitor the price action, because the price action tells us what people are doing with their money, and that is by far the most important characteristic. Now, when we look at indices like the Euro Stoxx 50, it has been trending lower since May, but that trend has been moderate. It has been much slower than the previous advance, and now it is there's a tail on the weekly candle from the region of the trend mean, and there is the potential that it is going to rally at least to challenge that downward bias since May, and if it can sustain a move above 3,500, it will have broken that multi-month progression of lower rally highs and confirm a return to demand dominance beyond short-term steadying. The FTSE 100, because it has benefited from the weakness of the pound, has had a somewhat shallower reaction. It is also firming in a reasonably dynamic manner from the region of the trend mean, and again, just thinking about how much profit erosion have people experienced if they were long of the FTSE 100, really not very much at all. In fact, the index has gone pretty much nowhere all year, and the fact that it is continuing to hold this progression of higher reaction lows suggests that perhaps it has the potential to do better in the last 4 months of the year. And if the euro has represented an obstacle to the outperformance of European markets over the last few months, I think we can probably say the same thing for the Australian ASX 200. It has paused in the region of the trend mean, and it is well off its lows this week, but it's been incredibly inert. For an index that was really prone to volatility for much of last year, it has been doing almost nothing at all for the last 3 months. Now, we have to just remember the fact that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. And this inert environment that we see on the ASX 200, where it has been just going up and down in just a lockstep fashion, up a few sessions, down a few sessions, for over 3 months already, this situation is not going to persist indefinitely. We are going to see a breakout. And when that breakout occurs, it is going to make this inert environment look rather staid. It is going to be surprising to investors that have been conditioned to expect nothing more than 150 point range. So I think that Australia is an index that is worth keeping an eye on now more than at any point in the last 3 months, because as we see an increasing number of markets firming from the region of the trend mean, then that is going to start to draw attention back to those that have been inert. That when something has been so inert, what we tend to get is a compression in trading, and vacuums of supply above and demand below the market tend to form, and an upward catalyst, not least in the form of a continued strength in the commodity sector, could be the thing that could drive the Australian market higher. And of course, In an environment where we have synchronized global economic expansion, commodity producers generally do well, and Australia is a major commodity producer. Obviously, it has had a headwind from the bear market in coal, but iron ore prices have been reasonably firm. The iron ore producers are definitely doing better. A lot of Australia's exports are now in natural gas, liquefied natural gas, and a lot of those long-term contracts are tied to the oil price. If oil can push back up towards $60, well, then that's likely to be rather positive for Australia. So I think that there is the potential here for the index to for this range to be resolved on the upside. And the Australian dollar broke up out of its what I'm going to term a base formation a few months ago, and it has now been consolidating for a while. The fact that it has forming this first step above that almost 18-month base is rather positive, and a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to question potential for additional strength here on the Aussie dollar. The Johannesburg All Share Index has also broken on the upside and is continuing to find support around that 55,000 level. The Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong is back testing its 2015 highs. It's also testing its high for the year. It posted a new high yesterday. But what I want to draw your attention to is the fact that it has posted one range above another since January, and this has been really quite a consistent advance. That reactions such as they have been limited to about 1,000 points. The last two have been about 1,000 points, maybe a little bit less than that. And the ones in February and then in March or April were shallower than that. But we are in the region of the 2015 high, so this is where we might have some sort of lengthier pause, but a sustained move below 27,000 would really be required to suggest that that is in fact occurring. The market has already been consolidating for 6 or 7 weeks, and today was the day where we finally got the date for the Communist Party conference in China, and the Shanghai A-Share Index has been quite positive. What we can probably attribute that to is the fact that the Communist Party is buying stability. They want to have good news. They want to be able to tout their success on the economic front, on the markets front, on the governance front, on the establishment of the new interpretation of communism, and not least as there is such a huge number of people are going to get reshuffled, both within the Politburo and the Standing Committee at this event. It's going to be on October 18th. That would suggest that what some might call this is the Xi put, that they are supporting the markets ahead of the event, and after that, then there is the potential for some consolidation. But in the meantime, there is at least another 6 weeks where the Communist Party are going to have a very strong vested interest in ensuring that there are no upsets on any front. So when we look at the commodity complex, the gold price has been steady here around the $1,300 area. It was able to find support today right at that level, and then rallied to into the end of the session and is now holding a new recovery high. The silver price was also pretty firm in here today. It's above 1750. It's firmed from above that $17 area, and you can see that it is now testing those highs from June, and it did pause in that area 2 days ago, but it's back testing it once more, and this is now challenging the progression of lower rally highs that have been there for more than a year. It's also helping to confirm that the support around $15 is more than transitory, that we could potentially have a more benign environment coming through for the precious metals, and generally speaking, that is rather positive considering that they are among the cheapest of any of the metals. the copper price is continuing to hold above the $3 area. It was off its high in here today, and it is prone to some consolidation, but when we look at that medium-term trend, it continues to remain on a recovery trajectory. And the biotechnology sector, which has been reinvigorated by the return to performance of the immuno-oncology sector and the heightened pace of M&A activity and the release of, I think it's more the commercialization or the clear evidence of commercialization of immuno-oncology and immunotherapy products that is helping to drive this market higher. This is a new product segment. It is really the thin end of the wedge in terms of the evolution and commercial reality of personalized medicine. And it is the biotechnology sector that is at the forefront of that. This continues to represent really quite a powerful recovery trajectory. And we can see that it broke out impressively in June. It found support in the region of the trend mean, and now it's reasserting on the upside. I think biotechnology is certainly a sector that I'm really quite bullish on. So, if we try to draw it all together, the fact is that we're in a period of synchronized global economic expansion. We're coming out of the silly season. There are a significant number of markets that are either breaking on the upside, and most particularly in emerging Asia, where you have a number of markets that are breaking up out of really very lengthy ranges. But in developed markets, you're seeing that an increasing number of markets have found support in the region of their respective trend means, and now they are beginning to demonstrate that support is coming back in. Considering that people have been expressing a great deal of anxiety, that we are now beginning to see the first signs of the risk-off environment turning back to risk-on, and I think that is perhaps the most important thing that has happened in here today. And with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.